Thank you for tuning into the Grow Community Podcast. My name's Liam, and in today's episode, we'll be speaking with Tina Mitchell, an experienced Grow leader on her journey to mental wellness. We are very grateful to speak with Tina, and I hope you enjoy.
I think mine started in childhood. You know, I lived in a pretty angry household. Lots of arguments, quite dominating parents. And, you know, and as time got on, I found that I was sick a lot as a child too, so I ended up having to be in hospital a lot. So I was hospitalised right up till I was 11, on and off, throughout my childhood. And through that, I actually had to go into special classes, could never keep up with the other kids, and I thought I was dumb.
Mm.
So I actually grew up thinking I was a dumb person, and I didn't have much to say. And I suffered with anxiety and depression, and I didn't really understand that either. I suffered with anxiety and depression for most of my life and didn't realise what the name of it was, had no idea. And then I got into some relationships, and they weren't good relationships either. And I brought two daughters up into these different relationships. So I had a lot of guilt. My youngest daughter had been sick, and my oldest daughter got sick. So I've been a single parent on and off. So I've been married a few times. My last marriage was probably 14 years.
Mm.
And I thought this was... I'd got into a really good relationship, but he was end up being an alcoholic. So I end up having to get out of that relationship, and that's when I completely broke down. And I ended up in the mental health ward. So I do have, you know, there's a lot of stuff in my life that's gone wrong. And anything I made a mistake with, I was always held down.
Mm.
So I used to run. If anything got too hard in my life, I used to take off.
Yeah.
Couldn't handle it. And I realised that was the anxiety. Anyhow, I ended up in the mental health ward, and I thought I was around a lot of mad people, but I didn't realise that I was just as sick as everybody else in there. And one day, Grow came in, and these two wonderful people came in and sat in our morning meeting. And I heard their story, and I actually thought there's hope, because I lost complete hope. I didn't want to be around anymore. I just didn't think there was anything out there.
Yeah.
You know, and when I heard their stories, it just blew me away, because this person had been very, very sick, and yet he was sitting there telling his story. So I actually said to them that I'm going to go to a Grow group. No matter what, I'm going to a Grow group. But I was lucky they came back and visited again while I was in there.
Yeah.
And I was diagnosed with manic depression, so I had my highs and deep lows. And when I seen them come in, I went into this big high, and I was grabbing all the people in there and saying, come and listen to these wonderful people. So then I actually, once I got out of there, I got home, and I could feel the depression starting to set back in again. But I promised these people I would definitely go to this meeting, and I had to drive for half an hour to get to this meeting, and I was still quite suicidal then. And it was the hardest thing I ever had to do, just to get in that car and drive up there to sit in a group of people I didn't know. It was quite difficult. I made myself physically sick getting there. And I walked into this room of these people, and it was quite a big group. It was the night group. There's probably about nine people in there. And I sat down and I thought to myself, oh, I don't think I'm in the right place here. And I just sat there and cried. Just cried and shook. And some lovely person just handed me a box of tissues and said, look, it's okay. So after group, they had their tea and coffee. And they were laughing and joking. And I thought, okay, I'm in the right place now.
Yeah.
I really, really, I thought they were just lovely people, because I didn't understand what was going on in the meeting, because it was quite structured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had no idea, but sitting down there and having that tea and coffee with these people, I went, okay. And I went to grow for 2 years and missed 2 meetings in 2 years.
Yeah.
And I guess the first thing that I had to start doing was just to come back and to look at personal value. And it wasn't until after I'd been coming for about 6 weeks, I had to start memorising the program. But I didn't think I could learn anything. And when I go back to group the following couple of weeks, I'd have two words off. And they went, oh, that's fantastic. Good on you. And I went, oh, they're giving me praise for something I did really badly. And that gave me the confidence then to keep going. I could never read in group because I thought people would laugh at me because I was kind of slow reader. And when I, after about 2 months, they actually asked me when they did their reading and discussion. And they asked me to read, and I read, and I waited for the laughs, but no one laughed, you know, and that gave me more confidence again to keep going with my reading. And I've learned so much. I used to move furniture on a daily basis in my home, and I have chronic neck and back pain.
Yeah.
And one of the tasks was to leave the furniture where it was and give it a try for this week. And I had to learn that was the all over key to mental health, to settle for disorder in lesser things for the sake of order and greater things, and therefore be content to be discontent in many things. And I did learn that. But a grower said to me, now you need to live it. And I had to actually start putting that into practice. And I actually realised what it meant, because I didn't quite get the meaning of it.
Yeah.
And I used to get these light bulb moments during the night. And I go, oh, I know what that means now. I've got to leave that furniture sitting where it is and be content to be discontent with that. So I started doing that. I don't move furniture anymore. You know, I had to actually, I used the three basic convictions when I had to go for a walk, because I was so manic in the house that I had to actually start getting outside and going for a walk. And I use that part of the program. I can compel my muscles and limbs to do the right and healthy thing in spite of my feelings. And my feelings will get better as my habits of thinking and acting get better. And the more I did it, the better I felt and the easier it got. So, you know, these wonderful wisdoms in these books just changed my life. And I was given another task, was to learn to say no, because I've always been a yes person. I've never been able to speak up for myself and say what I think. Because I lost myself along the way and I didn't really know who I was. You know, I was 54 when I had my major breakdown, and I've grown out of sight in these last 8 years. And what I found was the program helped me to change my thinking, and doing my tasks was helped me to change my habits that I had. And there was, I had to leave a dish in the sink. I had to learn to leave a dish in the sink, because I could never leave a dish in the sink. My house was immaculate. I suffer with OCD. But these days I can walk out of my house and not worry about the dust, not worry about a dish in the sink. These are the things I've changed. I do remember after my first week coming to grow, someone rang me during
a 12-step call,
and I went, wow, how did they know I needed a call? And I felt really special that someone cared enough to ring me.
Yeah.
And this is what the friendships I've built in Grow has just been amazing. You know, everybody I know in Grow have just been amazing people, and we're all on the same journey. And I think the thing that really sets Grow apart is the community. And just having those friendships, because I've never had a true friend, and one of the growers especially has become my best buddy.
Yeah,
you know, and I never knew what true friendship was. You know, I was always a loner. And I've got people around me now that do care. But it's being with other people that understand where I was coming from.
Yeah.
And not judging me for any of the mistakes that I made. I used to like to read The Affirmation of Good. Because I read it and read it and read it and found that I had to learn to forgive others, but I also had to learn to forgive myself. And in that, the affirmation of good, that's what's in there, is just amazing. What else? And the three basic changes. You know, change of thinking and talk, change of behaviour and change of relationships. Well, as I started to change my thinking, I started to talk in a more positive and a different way and speaking up for myself. And then my behaviour changed. I've become more confident within myself. I'm not that shy little person that was never able to speak up. I can actually talk up for myself now, and it's changed my relationships. You know, I've got a beautiful relationship with my family, and I can stop my mother when she gets off on the bandwagon and starts going on about everything, because I used to get on the end of her stuff and we used to get cranky
coming
together
on
and
the end of
bitch
it.
And yeah. All that sort of stuff, but I don't do that anymore. You know, it's just everything in this book has been, the Blue Book has just been amazing. You know, no one is a no-hoper.
Yeah.
And that's in that yellow book, the readings for mental health. There's, I went to a community training weekend when I first started with Grow, probably 6 months after I've been coming to Grow. And I drove a carload of growers with me. And what happened was I didn't realise that I was so manic.
Yeah.
I couldn't drive my car unless it was full all the time.
Like had full passengers?
No, full of fuel.
Oh, okay, yeah, fair enough.
So I went for this trip with these growers and I went to get fuel. I left Ballina, went to get fuel in Grafton, and they said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I need to get fuel." And they said, "But it's still full."
Yeah.
And they said, "Well, come on. Let's just go a little bit further." And by the time I got to Maxville, they could see the anxiety was starting to get too high. So I helped me to push through that. And I can actually drive a car now and it can have the yellow light on.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
You can settle for the disorder. Yeah. I think that's actually I've never thought about that line in the terms of like an OCD perspective, that it's being able to let go. And was that, it took you a long time to be able to let go? Was it fairly?
I think I was hungry. I really needed something. And I love Grow so much that I just put all my time and energy into Grow. And I used to go with the field worker on field trips.
Yeah.
Quite often, and I learnt so much there too, because I didn't realise what a leader was. I thought a leader was someone in the top of a company, you know, but I realised that I'm a leader, because I found out that as I started learning the program and started changing in my thinking and talk, I actually then started passing that on to others in the group. And they got me to see that that's what a leader does. We can all be leaders. And I went, oh, okay. And I've become a leader. And I've been a recorder in group.
Was that the first leadership role you took in Grow, being a recorder?
Yeah, that was the first. And I didn't believe I could do that. I listened to competent authorities. I listened to the organiser and the field worker, and they said, "Well, we know you can do this." So I realised that taking on that role, I grew into that role. I didn't know it all. I learnt as I went along with the help of the group. And that's the same with every position I've taken on in Grow, even to the I started as an organiser then, and I didn't think I could do it, but I listened to the growers and they said, "We know you can." So I took on that role, and then after a while I actually started opening up other groups. And so I've come, those steps. I've gone through those steps and I've really changed my whole life. You know, I'm really grateful for those people coming into that hospital orientation when they did, because I really wouldn't be here. I've learned, even now I'm still learning. I'll be, you know, I'm always learning, and I'm always learning about myself. And I think these days, yeah, there might be a bit of anxiety there, but I can control that, and that's through the program. You know, it's being able to learn to go by what I know and not by how I feel. And I'll strive to improve my knowledge and understanding. And there's another one, the three practical points for control. I learned that never say I can't, because I was always a can't person.
Yeah.
Can't do this, I can't do that. But now I turn it around and go, well, yes, I can do that. So it's I'm more of a calmer person these days, instead of being that wound up spring that I used to be. And I could never sit still. I was always up bouncing around doing stuff. Well, now I can sit in a chair and really enjoy an afternoon sitting there and watching TV, or just doing something that doesn't require any energy.
Without pacing around the house or feeling
restless. Yeah, because I could never do that. I remember I used to go for walks and I used to jump the cracks and not walk on the cracks and count my steps. And look, I can look back and laugh, because I realise through coming to Grow, they gave me the insight. I got the insight and why I broke down. And I don't hate my parents anymore, because I realised with coming to Grow that my parents did the best job they could with the tools that they had, and I did the best job that I could with the tools that I had. Now my toolkit has grown through having the program and all the tasks that I've done. I'm able to help others, and I think that's the thing now, is I'm going into hospital orientations and doing hospital orientations, you know. It's nothing nicer than giving to people and giving them hope.
And it's very full circle for you as well to be able to do the hospital orientations. And yeah, I mean, it would be interesting, like, if the Tina of back then met the Tina now. I wonder what...
Totally different. Totally different person. You know, I didn't know who I was when I was 54. Right through right through the years, I didn't know who I was. I've found myself now, and I've become a field worker. And again, I didn't think I'd do this role, but I've grown into this role, and I'm still growing. And I'm trying new things. I never thought I'd be out in a canoe paddling in the ocean, or in the river even, you know. That it's given me the courage to do different things these days, you know. It's just lovely to have a life.
Yeah, and have enough energy and to try and explore sort of new things. So what does the future look like for you? Like, are you working on a certain piece of program now, or?
I'm working on step six. That's one of the steps, is we took care and control of our bodies. I'm trying to get fit. And I think that's the thing about the Outrigger Club. I'm getting fit, and that's what I'm working on, you know. And I'm just over the moon that this organization is around, because I think we can help a lot of people. It's helped me to no end, and you know, and the girls have their mother, you know.
It's very, I always think about, like, the moment of the lowest ebb of the tide, like, and just thankful that people are visiting clinics and being there for people when they are at that moment and making sure there are resources. Is that something that you feel a lot of sort of value and pride in doing, getting to meet these people out there sort of? How do you inspire hope in somebody who's...
I think if you've got that lived experience and people can hear that story, it makes a huge difference to someone else, because then they realise they're not alone.
Mm.
Because when we're unwell, we become quite isolated, but we become quite isolated within ourselves. and realizing that we're not alone, and they're giving that hope. There's nothing better than giving someone hope, you know, giving them, okay, there is something out there and I can give it a try. You know, we can help. I don't know. It's just a wonderful, wonderful feeling, because I know what it was like when I first heard someone talking, you know, and that's what I want to give back.
Yeah, it was that moment of, yeah, hope and knowing that there's some understanding out there, because I think mental health for everyone's so personal, because it's not like a quantifiable thing. It's, yeah, so refreshing to hear somebody else be on a similar journey.
It is. And look, we all come from different walks of life, but we all want the same thing. We want that negative talk in our head to stop.
Mm.
And that's where the program's helped me to change that negative talk and looking at things in a more positive way. Yes, there are some... there's something a lady said to me once, and she said, just think of your head as, in your brain, as being full of weeds. Right? It's like those control unhealthy thoughts, and the unhealthy thoughts are the weeds. And as we learn the program, we start replanting and pulling out a weed and putting in a flower.
Mm.
And by the end of it, you've got this beautiful garden.
Yeah.
And then... Yeah. And then, yes, and a weed will come back in again. So then you've got to work on something else. It's we're a work in progress, and it'll always be that way, you know. But to live life and go and do speaking engagements, you know, I could never sit in front of people and talk. I was always one in the background, not wanted to be seen,
yeah,
you know. And it's very rewarding when you see the smiles on some people's faces and know that you're going to be helping even one person, you know. And as an organizer, I used to, if someone rang up about the group, I'd actually organize to meet them for a coffee and have a chat with them before they come to groups. So, you know, if we go that extra mile, it can really help someone else.